let's get the difficult question of, are you the protagonist of protagonist? You, how close to your own life is this?
Well, it's not an autobiography of character or incident, but it's certainly an autobiography of feeling and detail of place and time.
That's good. Because your protagonist can be a bit of a dick.
Yeah.
Is that an unfair characterization?
No, he's very dark. He's a very dark. He's not so much dark, but complicated by his own incredible need for his desire for certain for happiness, basically, and a sense of liberation. So that, you know, makes him do things that are not the best.
Every once in a while, I just wanted to haul off and just go smack, smack, smack. Think for just a, just stop the drama queen. Just let it go for a, can't you just,
Well, that's good. I'm glad you felt that way because it sort of means you're engaged with the book. See, I always like characters who are kind of complicated like that. I think it's what the novel should be doing, you know, not sort of portraying kind of nicey, you know, sweet characters. I think because we all are in our own way dark and we all are complicated. We all do things that are that have impact on other people, you know, and so we are, in a sense, that the novel can be a sort of cathartic experience, you know, it's sort of looking at your worst self or your own errors in a way. So that's how I see it. I mean, I think that it's important to capture that.
Is your grandmother still alive?
No, my grandmother isn't alive, and she's not the character in the book.
That's good.
But the grandmother in the book is more a kind of representation of the grandmothers of people of my generation, these women who came from the rural gentry and married into the urban gentry and brought with them a more robust idea of womanhood, you know, sort of slightly crude in their language and in their expectations, but aristocratically crude, you know. And you know, they didn't see any issue with running businesses, and the idea of the home extended beyond the home, the wealth of the home extended beyond the home, and so they felt that the wealth management was theirs to do, and they certainly did it, and they were strong women.
Siobhan,
yes.
He's tell me about him. How do you see him?
I see him as somebody who wants more than the world can provide. Not the world as in the general world, but more than the world can give him. And what he wants is fair, I think. It's just that the world can't give him that. The circumstances of the environments he finds himself in can't give him what is a reasonable thing to ask for in life, which is to be loved by, to be loved and to love somebody, to be successful in your career and to have a sense of arrival in the center of yourself. And he wants that, and the world will not provide it. And that is the tragic aspect of the book.
But then he also never really made it easy for himself either at times.
No. It's a combination of that, isn't it? It's a combination of circumstances and character. So in a sense, I felt it is very, I think it's true in life that we are, that yes, the circumstances around us are often oppressive and often don't, are not hospitable, but we also make choices within that situation. And the choice, and we are responsible for the choices we make. So he's no victim, which I can't stand to read in literature. I can't stand to read victims in literature. He's no victim. He's an active player in his destiny, as a protagonist should be in literature. So he's not some character who's sort of, being blown by the winds of fate hither and thither. He takes control. It's just that the choices he makes are often tragic, and it is really tragic in the true sense of the tragic. You know, it's not pathos, It's tragedy in the Greek sense of that word.
He has sort of two great loves in the book.
Yes.
In the second half of the book, it's Michael, who's mm-hmm. a waspy kind of Canadian guy.
Yes, very waspy.
And
Millie.
Millie, who's his Sri Lankan lover.
Yes.
Tell me about them and what they have in common and how, because I think there is a link between the two of them.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing about Shivan is he is lovable. It's possible to, I think as a character, it's possible for the reader to see why both men would love him and want to please him and want, because there's a lot that's lovable about him. We talk about him as a very kind of, he's not a nasty person. In fact,
no.
he's actually very, he's a lovely, there's something about him that's very lovely and lovable. And so the two men who love him are not wrong to love him. They're not idiots to love him. He's worthy of love as a character.
High maintenance love.
Yes, but not in a bad way. Not in a kind of, you know, bring my coffee to bed kind of way.
No.
He wants things, and they see that he wants things, and they want him to be happy because he's, you know, he's lovable. There's something about him that's lovable.
But there's a big need.
There is a big need.
That neither of those men know they can ever really fill.
Yes, and they both know they can't fill, but they do love him.
The book is The Hungry Ghosts. I've been speaking with the author, Shyam Salvadure, and The Hungry Ghosts, published by Doubleday Canada.